All right. Well, I was asking the Lord, what, you know, if you've ever been up here in front of everybody and you get a chance to share, you wonder why. You're like, okay, Lord, where am I going? What am I supposed to say? But, you know, a lot of times you just share what God's doing for you and with you and to help you. And the scripture came to me, Matthew 11. It's one of my favorites. Matthew 11, verse 28. I say it's one of my favorites, but I don't know if you can have favorites in the Word or not. It seems like whatever you're going through or the day that you're living, the Word that God gives you that day, that's your favorite. It's like every day it's fresh, you know. What Karen and I talk once in a while, still on Facebook or Messenger, and, you know, he talks about how the children of Israel, he gave them manna in the wilderness, but it was fresh every day. You know, they weren't to take extra and store it up. It was fresh every day. And it's easy to know the Word. And like I said last week, it's easy to just amen the Word, you know, when you hear it. Oh, amen, it's true, because it is true and you know it's true. But when it's manna, it's food and it's nourishment to our bodies and our flesh and our heart. So manna, the Word is manna. It's, you know, when he talks about it, he's the bread of life. He said, if you don't eat the bread, eat him, you know, you don't have life. So the Word of God is life. It's bread. And Jeremiah said he took those words and he ate them, you know. So the Word of God is to be taken in and chewed on and digested, you know. And as we chew on it and digest it, that's meditation, then it begins to be strength to us. Then we begin to apply it to our life when you need it, it's there because you've digested it and it's a part of you. It's nourished your body and strengthened and matured you in an area. You may not always have, that's the thing. Sometimes we think that somebody has more knowledge in some, you know, of the Word, but you can have faith concerning healing and not concerning finances. Or you can have faith for finances and not for healing. It's whatever you've digested. It's whatever you've taken in and eaten as your nourishment. And as you walk through life, there's different areas or in different circumstances. Everyone walks a different walk. But when you get there, if you needed healing, finances really don't help. I mean, it pays the bills. But if you need healing, That's a different manna. That's a different Word that you need. And I read something that Pastor Dana put on Facebook, and it got me to thinking, because I was kind of getting, you know, have you ever got blah feeling, you know? You're just blah. But she put, righteousness is not a thing, it's a person. I read that and I thought, yes, that's true. Righteousness is not what we, you know, a thing or a place, you know, it's a person. It's Jesus Christ. He's our righteousness. And I got to thinking about our salvation. And when we first got saved, the excitement of knowing Jesus, just knowing who Jesus was and him being alive and real and the tangible of he was almost tangible, you know. I don't know if you guys remember when you first got saved, but it was just like a life, you know. You wanted to sit and laugh. You know, I remember Jimmy just laying on the bed and laughing, and I said, what? And he's like, I just feel so free. I'm just, you know, he didn't even know there was such a thing as salvation until he was 30 years old, you know. So when he finally understood it and received it, he was just full of joy. And that's what, you know, the Bible calls it the joy of our salvation. And our salvation shouldn't get dull. The longer we live for God, it shouldn't be, oh, going to church tonight. I would have rather stayed home, you know, because our flesh says that. But when I was first saved, I couldn't wait till Wednesday night to get there, you know. So we got to, you know, the Holy Spirit was just saying, just be careful that you don't get religious, because we do. We don't realize we're even being that way, but you can just habitually do things and complain about it if you want, you know. But really, that's not the joy of our salvation. We all have to watch it. I can't say that it's just me. I know every one of you. We all have to watch ourselves. And that's what it says, you know, to forsake not the assembling of yourselves as you see the day approaching, so much more as you see the day approaching. But we're here to exhort one another, to tell each other, it's exciting to live for Jesus. What he's done for you, what's he done for you this week, you know? And if he's not done anything for us, then we're not asking him to. You know, we're just think everything's cool, so you don't have to ask for nothing. But there's people that we could ask for. If we have all of our needs met, there's somebody we know that don't. And if we could start being excited about the life that we have, and we've come into, and I've come into, then I can be excited to share it with someone. And so, you know, it's just, the Holy Spirit was just encouraging me to get back on the stick here and quit being so habitual with your life of Christ, you know. So that's just, I'm preaching to me tonight, and if you guys don't, you can turn it off or on or whatever, but, you know, that's the Holy Spirit was stirring me up to stay fresh, stay with fresh manna. So let's look at Matthew 11:28. Kathy thinks I'm giving it up. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's look at that in the Amplified, Kathy. Let's start at 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened. I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest, relief, and ease, refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. I always think blessed quiet at the end of the day and of early morning. That's quiet is blessed, okay? 30 says, my yoke is wholesome, it's useful. It's not harsh or hard, sharp or pressing, but comfortable. It's something, if you wear something that's uncomfortable, you don't like it, do you? But you wear something comfortable, and that's how the yoke is, for that God has yoked us with Jesus, or Jesus is, we're yoked together with him, and it's comfortable. It's not like it's, oh, it's around my neck, you know. It's gracious and pleasant. He said, my burden is light and easy to be borne. So, you know, yoke is, the oxen have this thing around their neck and they pull together. So Jesus is just telling us, yoke up with me and I'll make life a lot easier. You know, sometimes you go through life and you think it's hard and you think there's a lot of something hitting you from every side. And if it's not you, it's somebody else's stuff, you know, that they just pile stuff. People bring their burdens to you, and if you're not careful, or I'm not careful, I just start carrying everybody's burden. But Jesus said, my burden's light and easy to be borne. So we want to stay, when you feel yourself, when I feel myself getting heavy or worn down, I need to decide who's I'm yoked up with. Sometimes I'm yoked up with people or religious ideas or whatever, but I want to stay yoked up with Jesus Christ because he's my Savior. You know, he's my Lord and Savior. He's the one that I serve, and he's the one that gave his life for me. So let's look at the word come in that. You know, I just took different words that kind of stuck out to me in verse 28. Come to God first. He says in James 4 and 8, it says, draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Recognize your sinners. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. That's the part I wanted to look at. And in Hebrews 4:16, and in the Amplified says, let's look at the Amplified. Yeah, let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need, appropriate help and well-timed help, coming just when we need it. And that word come, he tells us to come to him, so that's the first thing to do is go to God. Go to him. And, you know, in this one, I think in Matthew 11:28, in one of those, it was talking about our salvation. And, you know, our salvation came with more than just being saved from hell's fire. It means we have peace, we have prosperity, we have health, we have long life, and, you know, there's just multitude of things that come with salvation. It's not just we got saved so we miss hell. That's a great deal. That's good because it's getting closer all the time. And when Jesus comes, we want to know where we're going. We're all going up, right? Okay, the next word that kind of jumped out was rest. Our rest is a rest based on the completion of God's work of redemption, a rest for everyone who believes in him. So our rest is a rest based on the completion of God's work. It's what he did. We don't get rest because we're working hard and we finally get everything done the way we want it and then we can rest. Our rest is a rest based on the completion of God's work of redemption, a rest for everyone who believes. We rest from striving to please God in our own strength and rely upon the work he has done at the cross and in his resurrection. The next word that meant a lot was yoke, which I explained it's a device for joining together a pair of oxen. We're not oxen, though, are we? Sometimes we can be pretty stubborn, though. Okay, when we're yoked together with Jesus, we do the Father's will, and we allow him to guide us and direct us instead of us running around doing our own thing. We're following him. It says that in 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, he calls us co-laborers. 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, we're laborers together with God. So that yoke that we have on keeps us we're laboring, but we're laboring with God. And I think God probably doesn't get real tired of doing the works. You know, he's got the strength, and he gives us that by uniting with him, being a co-laborer with him. He's already done the work, and we're just following his orders. We're following that plan. We're God's husbandry, and we're his building. Okay, so we're not working for God in this. We're working with God. I heard a lady preaching on Facebook. Facebook, what would we do without it? But she was a Pentecostal lady, and she was talking about working with God instead of working for God. She said if you're working for someone, it can make you his slave, like you're employed. But we're working with him. So it's his plan. And we're going along with what he wants. Okay, the next word that popped out was learn. How many like learning? I like to learn. Learning could be an instruction or an experience. Become informed. Wisdom is gained as we learn from walking with Jesus. James 1 and 5 says, if you lack wisdom, what do? Ask of God. James 1 and 5, if you lack wisdom, ask. That's another coming to God, asking him for wisdom. He gives to all men liberally, and he doesn't upbraid you. And if we ask, it'll be given. Proverbs 2 and 6. The Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Passion Translation in that, Proverbs 2 and 6, says, every word he speaks is full of revelation and becomes a fountain of understanding within you. Wisdom is a gift from a generous God. I love that. Wisdom is a gift from a generous God. Every word he speaks is full of revelation and becomes a fountain of understanding within you. We could have just said that scripture and been, that was good. I like that. Jesus said he did nothing of himself, but everything that he did, his Father taught him. He said in John 8:28, let's look at that. I know I'm going through these fast. We'll be done by 7:30 almost. Jesus said, you will know me as I am after you have lifted me up from the earth as the Son of Man. Then you will realize that I do nothing on my own initiative, but I only speak the truth the Father has revealed to me. In the Passion Translation, it says, I only speak the truth that the Father has revealed, which that's what that is, revealed to me. So wisdom comes from God, and as we yoke up with him, we learn. And learning is wisdom, learning the things that God wants us to learn. He said, learn of me, you know, and that's what I'm saying is to not to just say, I'm learning the word of God. I'm learning my Bible scriptures, you know. Make sure that it's just not learning scripture, but we're learning of him. When we take the scripture, unite that with Jesus Christ, because it says he was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word speaks to us. And as the Father has taught Jesus, he spoke these things. And as the Father teaches us, we speak these things. As we're yoked together with him, then we can have that wisdom that he's given, and it's above the natural wisdom that we just only have in our not minds. Proverbs 25:4, Pastor always brings this scripture out, and I like it real well. Show me your, in the Message Bible, let's look at the Message. Proverbs 25:4, have I got the wrong one? Psalms 25, Kathy. Having a hard time keeping up with me, aren't you? It's Psalms 25, not Proverbs. Psalms 25, 4. Psalms 25. Well, it says, show me how you work, God. Show me how you work. God, school me in your ways. So you can see that the learning is like going to school. God's schooling us in his ways. As we sit at the feet of Jesus and we learn of him, he said, come unto me and learn of me. So in Psalm 25, he's telling us, he's praying, show me how you work. And I pray that, you know, show me how you work, God. School me in your ways. Teach me. Help me to learn. I want to learn. You know, sometimes you think you know so much, and we don't know as much as we think we know sometimes. We just think we know. But you can, that's just what I'm saying. Head knowledge is all good, but you just think you know sometimes. Knowledge can puff you up. You can think that I know that. Oh, I know that. Yeah, I know that. I heard that. Pastors taught that last week, and I heard that before. We'd say that because we had heard that before. But he's saying, school me in your ways. Help me to learn. Help me to understand. Even if it's the same thing that you've heard 15,000 times, there's something in God's word for you for that time that you can take. and learn more. There's an infinite learning with God. It's an infinite learning. It's never going to be that you know you're 80 some years old that Barbara's got it all now. She don't have to learn anything else. That's, you know, not the way it is, Miss B. Don't get sassy. But it's, you know, we're always learning, always learning. Isn't there a scripture that says that ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth? Well, we don't want to be that way. We don't want to be ever learning and never coming to the knowledge of the truth of God's word. So learning is good, but we want God's way. Show me your way, how you work. Okay, Proverbs 8:34. About done, girls. Proverbs 8:34 and 35 in the Passion Translation. I know I've popped around on everything. If you wait at wisdom's doorway, I love this. If you wait, that takes patience to wait. Sometimes waiting is hard. It's hard for me to sit down and just wait before the Lord. Sometimes because I got things to do. You know, you got dishes to do, the yard needs mowed, this needs done, the phone rings, somebody's hungry, there's something all the time, you got a doctor's appointment. But, you know, we've got to learn to take time to wait at wisdom's door. I have to, old as I am, I have to learn this new every day. Wait, Linda, just wait. You know, even making decisions. Don Mayo used to say, if you don't know, then don't. If you don't know what you should do, don't. You know, God doesn't say, okay, hurry, 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 hurry. You got to decide. We do that, or people do that. When we're making a change in our life or we're going to do something, we need to wait at wisdom's door, longing to hear that word for that day. And then joy, just like when I was praying, joy breaks forth within you if you listen for what I'll say. And that's even in prayer. You know, old timers called praying through, and they would pray till they got joy. And there's something about that. You know, I know we don't want to think we're old timers, but there is something about praying until you hit that note of joy. Because once you've got there, there's answer. There's an answer. God's given you an answer, and you're just like full of joy. That joy comes. It comes. Joy comes in the morning. It comes. And it comes through prayer. And I am determined in my life to wait at wisdom's doorway, longing to hear the word for every day. 35 says, for the fountain of life pours into you every time that you find me. And this is the secret of growing in the delight and favor of the Lord. Growing, that's learning, you're maturing. For the fountain of life pours into you every time you find me. Wisdom and Jesus are the same. You know, it says that Jesus was made unto us wisdom, sanctification and redemption. He is wisdom. So when you're sitting at wisdom's doorway, you're sitting at the feet of Jesus like Mary and Martha. We're sitting there talking to him, carrying on a conversation, and not just coming to church and hearing the word, coming to church and amen, coming to church and working, coming to church and doing the things that we have to do because we're trying to keep things going. Wait at wisdom's doorway, even when we're in the nursery. I mean, we have to wait at wisdom's doorway and ask the Holy Spirit, what do we need to do today? You know, how can we minister to these little faces and these little spirits? How do we help them? You know, how do we stay strong and full of joy? You know, that we don't lose our temper with one or something. You know, how we're there to love on them and to minister to them. And so it takes time even before we go into them to minister to those little ones. Or ministering in here, you know, in the offering. Ask the Holy Spirit. Wait and get a word. And when we get that word, then we can have that joy to take us on to where we're supposed to be and strengthen us for that endeavoring to do that job that God's called us to. So that's all I have, and I just know it was short and sweet, but I hope you got something out of it.